Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Fabrish. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you to the backyard this evening because we are celebrating a very special couple. And before we do that, I want to ask you to do what we always do when we get in the backyard. Because for the next hour or so, we're going to be chilling and relaxing and taking a very virtual trip as we can do back to the island of Jamaica. So we get settled in our easy chair, and whether it was on the porch, on the deck, on the beach, in the backyard, or wherever, we're asking you to just transport yourself. Just relax, forget about the cares of the week, whatever the challenges were. You remember now, Jamaica is one big tranquilizer. We don't need no pills, or we don't even need a drink, actually. It helps sometimes with our little rum and Coca-Cola. So just pretend you're where you would love to be, no matter where you are. Because it's History Month, and what we do here at Backyard Labrish is we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And although we might be somewhere that's cold tonight, we're going to be warmed by the trade winds blowing softly across the island. So with that said, if you're on my list, you know that we're celebrating the Coverleys. Now, a lot of people might not know who they were, especially foreigners or the newer Jamaicans. But everybody knows Miss Lou. Louise Bennett was always also Louise Bennett Coverley because she was married to Eric Coverley. And a couple of weeks ago when we did the history of theater, tracing back from way back when to now, the name Eric Coverley came up several times, especially when we did Who Was Jim Russell? Because we found out, a lot of us who didn't know before, found out that Mr. Jim Russell was not just a registrar of births and deaths and marriages in Kingston and St. Andrew. He was also one of the first native Jamaicans born and raised there who accommodated the theater movement, or actually started it, in because he was involved in a theater in Spanish Town, and really produced the first shows before the pantomime. So in doing Mr. Jim Russell, who was the information was provided to us by Dr. Joy Lumsden, bless her heart, we came on the fact that Mr. Eric Coverley was very involved in theater. So can you imagine? Together, they made a wonderful couple. So I want to tell you some more facts about Mr. Eric Coverley that perhaps you might not know. And as usual, if there's anyone on the board or listening online, I want to welcome everyone. First, let me do that. And I want to tell you that I got the idea to do Miss Louise Bennett by one of my very faithful fans. So, you know, I do listen. So if there's something you'd like to hear, please let me know. So let me go back to Mr. Coverley, because perhaps you might not have been online when we were doing this show. But actually, this is from something from the newspaper from 1938. And it was someone commenting on a show that they had seen him do. Mr. Eric Coverley, whose stage persona, his name is spelled backward. He would call himself Captain Sire, C-I-R-E, Lervok. Which, if you spell that backward, it is E R I C for Eric, and C O V E R L Y. So it sounds like a Russian name. So you can see from it, he was 27 when he did this performance, because he was born in 1911. And this was in 1938 that they were writing about him. So you can see that he was a visionary and very creative. So this is what they said of him, that he was a fine head of the showboat performance. During it with a New Year chalk talk, very original and very amusing. He got the program well on the way, and a feature of his other late appearance was an excellent drawing of our new king mounted on a shield bearing the national flag. Now, I don't know if anyone on the board know what chalk talk meant, but there is a further description of what he did with this chalk talk. And I'm also curious to know if anyone else had done it after him, and if anyone else is doing it now. Because I find it very interesting that he could either write numbers, and then as he told a story, he would connect something to the numbers that he wrote that made a caricature of the person he was talking about, or something that you could have a visual of what he was saying verbally. And I thought, wow, how creative. Another person described it as, let me just read it from you. He used a blackboard and an easel to form the background for a spring of merriment that is colorful, interesting, unique, and very educating. So as he would do this chalk talk that he was known for, he would do all sorts of things using chalk with an easel and a board. And, you know, in those days, I'm sure they didn't have a lot of stage settings and, you know, the things we have now, I'm sure they're so modern in Jamaica that it's perhaps just a touch of a button, you know, or quickly moving from one scene to the next. But here he was in the early days of theater, providing a backdrop or a visual with his chalkboard and his chalk talk. Because as he put the chalk to the board, he would be in narration, you know, speaking about what he was talking about, a drawing about what he was talking about. So I thought that was very interesting about his early start. Let me tell you, he died in Canada. Of course, let me give you a little more insight about him. Actually, he was 27 in 1938 when he was doing all of that. when he died, he was married to our beloved Miss Lou, and they were living in Canada when he passed away. And they said he just slipped away. I think he might have been ill before. But this is how one person described it. Mr. Coverley started his performing career as an actor, comic, and impersonaro in the 1930s and 40s and was known to a past generation of Jamaicans as half of the comedy duo Eric and Flo. The Flo in the duo was Flora's gazelle Glasspool, who later became a prominent politician and eventually Jamaica's governor general. On the team, Mr. Coverley was the comic and Glasspool the straight man. He also was a brilliant calligrapher. His widow said, and many of the nation's official citations, decorations, and proclamations were in his beautiful script. So he actually did calligraphy for the different things as they were presented by the Jamaican government. This is me saying that on the sidebar, which I didn't know because it wasn't mentioned about his art, in writing when I was reading about his performances. So this is something new that I found out. And my fans know how I get so excited when I find out new things. It says here that he was Jamaica's, in a 1978 interview with a Jamaican newspaper, Mr. Coverley said of his career in the theater, "I never got money from it, and I had lots of personal sacrifices to put on shows. He did what he did," Mr. Coverley said, "because of my love of culture and the theater. But he did become loved by his countrymen, and it was while scouting talent for one of his shows that Mr. Coverley met Bennett," who is Louise, of course, we know, "with whom he stood shoulder to shoulder for 45 years as his former protege, because Jamaica's the Caribbean and one of the world's most foremost folklorists and dialect poets was his wife, Miss Louise Bennett." We know her as Miss Lou, but her official name was Miss Louise Bennett Coverley. So with that said, I wanted to ask if anyone on the board knew Mr. Eric Coverley in Jamaica when he was doing his theater thing, or knew anything. He worked for the railroad. He was one of the first black Jamaicans that worked for the early railroad after he got out of school. So I thought that was quite interesting and wanted to share it with you before I got into some information about Miss Lou. I have quite a few treats for the callers tonight. Number one, I have a pre-recording of someone who was a guest on our show some time ago who lives in Toronto. Miss Lou lived most of her life the last part of her life in Canada. And this guest, Miss Phyllis Broom-Walker, was on as she calls herself the keeper of the Anansi flame, and tells the story of the Anansi character being from Africa, and the whole idea of the Anansi stories being brought from Africa. And we know how Miss Lou wove, just intertwined the Anansi stories in her poems and her storytelling and her plays. So I thought that I'd ask Miss Phyllis to speak to us a little bit about how Miss Lou might have influenced her, but I even found out something more than that when we spoke. So later on, I'm going to play the little clip that I recorded this morning because Miss Phyllis had a previous engagement. So does anyone on the board want to join the Lavish? Please hit 1 on your telephone, and I will know that you're putting up your hand as if you're in school, and I'll open my little magic mic and speak with you. I want to take this minute to welcome all that's listening online and to apologize again that I'm not able to chat with you, which I'm supposed to learn, but that's down the pike. But if you would like to join the Labrish, please dial 718-766-4558. And I suppose the Skypers, if I see some people Skyping in, you can hit 1 on your phone and hopefully it will turn into a hand like the numbers do. So with that said, I don't see any hands. So now I am going to talk about Miss Lou. And I think that for the foreigners who might listen to the show, somewhere along the way, if they've been to Jamaica or are friendly with Jamaicans, I am sure it's quite possible that they know who Miss Lou is. But I am going to read as she is described by some of the writers. So as usual, I do have to ask you to bear with me because I keep telling you I am a senior. I don't even know how I'm doing this because if I was like the usual or a lot of the people my age, I'd be complaining about my aches and pains, which I do have, but, you know, they're not as important as my passion for just celebrating my culture. So I'm really grateful to all of you that are joining me on the board and those who are listening on the line. And for the hundreds who come by after we close the show to listen, because I'm really so amazed from 1 week to another how many people really listen to the shows. So I thank you because I know that people who are actually live and listening and interacting with me are perhaps sharing the information with other people, and that's why the numbers are really going up very, very fast. So let me get to my Miss Lou papers now and officially introduce her to the people who might not know who she is if you come by later. And the treat I have for everybody tonight is that I found a very excellent recording that she did online that a lot of times when you try to, you know, play something that is playing through another medium, it's not very clear. But I think that this one will be very clear when I play it. So what I'm going to do now is to give you that treat while I get shuffled my papers in order. So if you'll just bear with me for 1 minute, I am going to now plug in live because of technology. Oh, I love this technology. And I'm just begging the seniors to embrace it because it's, as young folks would say, it's really cool. So just sit back in your easy chairs and enjoy a little segment of Miss Lou. Here we go. Oh, no. Don't tell me I didn't do it. Something went wrong here. When I did it before, it worked fine. So let me try again. Oh, no. What did I do? We're coming. We're getting there. Oh, here we go. Hold on. That's restart. Restart.
All this folklore and this culture that we have come from all the different people who have lived in the country. you know, and we just used it, and now we have a real West Indian, a real Jamaican culture. For my aunt wrote to say, when the Asian culture and the European culture work upon African culture and the Caribbean people, we stir them up and blend them to the flavor. We shake them up and move them to the beat. We wheel them and we turn them and we rock them and we sound them and we temper them and lost the rhythm sleep. Yes, we do. So then we don't need to shame at the things we have at all. Like my auntie would say, she vexed in the time she hearing people are come stag for me Jamaica language as corruption of the English language. You ever hearing things also? I told you, you know, we're back to not call the English language corruption of the Norman, French, and the Greek, and the Latin, where them say English is derived from. When you hear the word, English derived, but Jamaica corrupt. No matter, nothing about so. We not corrupt, and then derived. We derived too. Jamaica derived. We derived. Let me tell you, man, we derive from the English, we derive from Portuguese, from Spanish and all the things, all the people who are there, and on top of it, the basic thing that we derive from is African. Who are you, Pooper? Plenty of the words there in a Creole language, but then tell us they are corruption. Hey, a good African word. Good African word that comes from a nice African language in Trinidad. Do you hear my name? Yeah, man. It's spelled T-W-I, but it's pronounced T-W-I. I want good language. And make me tell you, missus, you see all words like bankrupt? Hey, I trade that. A basket, you know. And when you say nyam, and them go on like when you say nyam, you talk bad. I want good words. Hey, food and eating and all them things. Hey. Yeah, oh, man. Like. Thank you, and pia. You know, and susu and sese and kasa. Potto. You know when we say something potto? I want good word. It means mud. And you know, like when we say dirty tough, and them tell us say that it's a corruption of dirty and not true. Dirty is brown in tree. It means the ground. Dirty tough, the ground hard. Yes, dirty tongue. Yes, man. So we don't have to shame at all. But my aunt wrote, she said, the whole thing that happened when the English forefathers then was a tribe of Muslim, but the African ancestors then, they chat so English. But the African ancestors then popped them. Yes, sir. Then popped them. Father, and disguise of the English and the African in such a way that them still couldn't understand them. Listen, man. I don't plenty of Jamaica words and got English in it. Hey. No English, but the car that some of you are saying, we don't want them, I don't stand it. That's true. Yes, missus. For you know what happened to me? We fling with most of the bang around them. And we just keep on wanting. Like, for instance, you know, when I'm... some English people might say, I got stuck by a prickle. Jamaica said, Maka joke me. Yes, man. And when the English says, go away, here we go. Yes, man, and we have a way, see, to make the word we say sound like what the things we are talking about look like. Mm-hmm. So when we say your buku yaka, you know right away say your buku yaka. But we say your bununu. That'd be nice, yes. Then when we say something ruku, you know, it's shaky. Yeah, man. Then you know what the English people will be, them say, bad, worse. We don't say so. We don't stop them so. We say bad. Worse. Yes, man. And when the thing was about worse, we say worse. They know another thing. You know the when the English them I say about if them attack to one smart, they say you. As them attack to 1,000 smart, they say you. When we attack to one smart, we say you. When we attack to more than one smart, we say oh no. Yes, sir. No man will be not ashamed and nothing at all. No, sir. Then now, you see, like how it looks like, thank you, for instance. If you say something, thank you, and pia, pia. You know, say weak, you know. But when you say something, talawa, you know, say strong. Yes, child, we not happy shame at all. Like my football Jamaica girl, when they come to England, you know. And them are happy sing one Jamaica folk song. Say, mama, then catch, poopa. Hear the football guy. Mother, be apprehended, father! Lord! Then, my dear child, them go ask her to sing another one. And this one is, Matty Waller left, you know. Me know me know where Matty Waller left. Hear the poo-poo gal. I don't want. But Matty eats and drinks. Lord, I tell you, child. Oy, why love the culture bad?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that. I was laughing my head off. I see we have a mic open, and I see you're all still there, but I'm opening the mic to 631-451.
Oh, good.
Are you still laughing?
Yes, I am.
I might have to take a bathroom break. Oh, my goodness.
I almost fell off my easy chair.
Okay, good thing you're... I hope you're on the beach someplace so you'll just fall in the sand.
Oh, my God, yes. That was so good.
Well, I hope that there, everyone on the line or listening online or on the board were perhaps familiar with the dialect and enjoyed it. And if you did and want to say so, hit one on your telephone so I can know I'm on the right track here. But failing that, I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm sure that most of you might know Miss Lou for her, you know, her comedy, her art, her charm. She has penned several books, written some of the pantomimes, performed in them, and all of that. But I wanted to give you a little bit about her early life. And I'm sorry, Miss Janine, did you want to say something else before I go off on my sidebar?
No, go right ahead.
Thank you.
I'm still laughing.
Okay. She went to Excelsior High School. You know, that's where she graduated from, I think, in terms of high schools. Let me see if there's anything here about earlier than high school. No, it says here at Excelsior, while she was at Excelsior, some of the teachers did not see the value of her poetry, but she was encouraged by persons such as W.A. Powell, who I think was the headmaster, Hugh Sherlock, and the late Ashley Clark. She remained undaunted by the sometimes hostile attitude towards dialect. She insisting on presenting dialect poetry, which reflected the lifestyle, philosophy, and sense of humor of the Jamaican people. The Daily Gleaner had previously refused to publish her poems, but Michael DiCordova heard her at a party and asked her to submit poems for publication in the newspaper. A regular Sunday column evolved, for which she was paid 10 shillings and 6 pence, which in parenthesis they now have $1.05 in the Jamaican dollar now, I suppose. The column proved to be a huge success, and Louise Bennett received letters from people all over Jamaica. Many persons began reading and performing her poems. Miss Lou appeared in her first Jamaican pantomime in 1943, playing opposite the late Rani Williams. The two were to become a much-loved duo in Jamaican theater. And then it goes on to tell you when her first poem was written. But, you know, in between that, we know she went to London and studied there and could have stayed, but decided to return to Jamaica, which I thought was quite interesting. That was on another one of my papers, which seemed to have evaded me because I was laughing so much. But I want to ask anyone on the board now that might have interacted with Miss Lou somehow in any of her plays, met her, or was inspired by her to let us know if you would like to make a comment or tell us something that we have not yet covered. So please feel free to hit 1 on your keyboard, and I will open up your mic. So I am waiting. Okay, I see a raised hand at 718-653. And the mic will be open in a second. Give me a minute here. Hello.
Hello, it's Maxine. How are you?
Who do I have?
Maxine Lyons.
Hi, Miss Maxine. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you.
Where you're calling from?
I am calling from Bronx in New York.
Great, 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 great.
And I must say that Miss Bennett has been one of my great inspirational persons from way back when. Ever since I was in secondary school, she has always, always inspired me. I remember back in the days I used to hide when I get a chance to go and watch Ring Ding, because I loved Ring Ding with a passion, just to see her.
Wow.
Just to see her performance and to hear her talk. And I myself have emulated her quite a bit.
Well, I know you've been a guest on our show before. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How have you been?
I'm doing pretty fine. I'm doing great. I'm doing well, I must admit.
Great, 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 great. So did you bring a poem to share with us today?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm grateful for doing so. I also own a copy of her book, Selected Poems. It's edited by Mervyn Morris. It has quite a few of her outstanding pieces.
Uh-huh.
And in that book is one of her poems called Nolika Twang. It's one of my favorites of all time.
Uh-huh.
I could either share that or I could share one of my personal pieces, whichever you prefer for me to do.
No, you do what you would love to do, dear. The floor is yours.
All right, I'll do one of mine. This one I wrote called Patwa Resurrection. It goes like this. We come afar and come learn new language. And nyama fi in a sandwich. Cause the nice, nice patwa where we come here with. Take time and drop out of we gig. Every other race in the place. Keep for them accent intact. Spanish, African, Asian and Jews. Not one of them turn them back. But the colorful accent called patwa. A drop off of the map. Uno help me. Save it. No make it broke nor crack. Cause one of this fine, fine dear. We are going to need it when we go back. So please, me I beg you, try and keep it intact. In Jamaica, we buy one frack. But America, we buy one dress. It look like, so this is a new language. A source of blasted stress. In Jamaica, if you're trash, it means you look damn good. But in America, if you trash, them just say, a garbage that. The patwa and the English, they in a competition. But me want all Jamaicans to ball out. This a resurrection. For patwa out for run last. He might try to catch him breath. Jamaicans, make we push him and take him out of stress. For patwa, I eat we born with. So now make him come run last. For everybody else a move fast. And I make them wanna pass. So I wanna sit down and I whisper. And I said that me a talk fat. Decent English is all distinguished. So Pat wanna have no class. But you can't and they play a fool. Me grew up in a bush. And Patwa was the language. Say big, little, and stoosh.
every time that me write it, it make me feel so tall. So make we resurrect it and big it up abroad. Aye, aye, aye.
All right. You are good.
Thank you. Very good.
How long ago did you write that?
That was written the 2nd of the 12/08.
Oh, wow. Now, are you still writing?
Yes, I am. I never stop writing.
Oh, that is wonderful. So
it's
tell us,
passion.
Do you do any of these in performances in the Bronx?
Yes, I do. I've
or around New York, I should say.
Yes, I've done quite a few shows in the Bronx and in Queens as well. Quite a few
shows.
Oh,
wow. Well, would you like to tell any of the listeners that might be interested in, do you have a performance coming up soon?
No, I don't have one coming up soon. I've just been doing, you know, pieces here and there. And Friday night, I'm going to be performing at the Wembley Club. It's a party, really. It's a birthday party, but the person who's having the party did ask me to do a piece or two. So I will be there this coming Friday night.
Right. Good. And you know, I'm sure that there are people all over the world that can relate to having been inspired in some way with Miss Lou's take on the cultural language. Later in the show, I'm going to be playing Miss the Keeper of the Nancy Flames talk on the. She doesn't write like you. She more or less just do the Anansi stories. She's a retired school teacher, and her passion is to keep the Anansi flame alive. But you take it one step further because you do the actual writing.
Yes, I do.
Using some of, I suppose, the more modern dialect.
Right.
Because, you know, everything in every language, I suppose, have changed because now they're calling, you know, in the old days, a mouse was something that most women feared. Now a mouse is part of what we use every day.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so, you know, all languages get upgraded.
I know. Just to add to that, I did write a poem, but it's written in English, though, where I used words from way back then that I know apply to computer technology, and I made up a poem around that. It's kind of
textual, really? So
but,
you're
yes.
Using both patois and straight English?
Yes, I write English pieces too. Yes, I do.
Which
you know,
is
a
very
book.
Good point, because
yes.
One of the things this retired teacher say, which you'll hear, I'll play her little clip in a little while, is the importance of the kids nowadays also doing standard English, because that's, you know, Miss Lou had standard English education to help get her where she, when she went to England on a scholarship and was on the BBC and so on and so forth. So it's important to know that you do both very well.
Absolutely.
And here you are, another example of being able to speak two languages, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'd be happy to hear your one in English.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right, so you want me to just about any piece, anyone, anything that I have?
You can do whatever one you choose.
All right. Let me see. All right, I have so many. All right, I could do this one that I wrote. It's called Voices. It says, Voices.
Okay.
I sing the finest tune, incomparable to any man-made instruments. I whisper cultural compliments just to show your sentiments. Sometimes I'm taken for granted, treated with disrespect as if I'm not wanted. Still without me, there's practically no you, no she, no he, no freedom of expressions, no using of discretion. I make your day, I break your day. I make you funny, I earn you money. I make you sad, I make you glad. Without me, you're almost incomplete. I am the voice that expresses your opinion and oftentimes shows dominion, gives command and sometimes requires great demand. Show regard and you will be greatly rewarded. Treat me fine, and I will be thine. I will be forever yours until the end of time. Voices.
That is beautiful. Because the concept I get there, all of that is about everybody's voice.
Voice, absolutely.
Voice, yes. That is the message. Preserve your voice.
Absolutely.
Use it for good. Use it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting it?
Yes, you are. Communicate your voice. Granted,
that is,
you know?
Beautiful.
Thank
that
you.
Is beautiful. You know, instead of using your voice in anger and in cursing and
use
to, you know, be negative, use it for rejoicing and praise. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it
that
is.
That is great. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay. And I want to ask anybody on the board, I see we have quite a few callers, if you want to make a comment on this, you know, I get excited and I go off on a tangent. But please join the Labrish by hitting 1 on your telephone if you would like to interact with any of the callers on the board, because the board is open. And I can give you some tidbits about that you might not know about Miss Louise and her wonderful husband, Mr. Eric Coverley, in the meantime. So feel free, you know, this is a casual conversation for the people who don't know what a Labrish is. I know most Jamaicans will know what a Labrish is, but it is not a dissertation. It is not like you are on CNN and it's a, you know, strict rules that you have to follow. You know, I just go off on my little sidebars all the time. As long as we're celebrating, we're using our voice, Miss Maxine, to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica land we love. As long as it falls into that category, you're welcome to use your voice. As Miss Maxine says, celebrate your voice. Right, Miss Max?
Yes, definitely. We need to.
Okay. All right. So until I get, do I have another hand up? Oh, not yet. Okay. Come on, folks. Raise your hand. So let me tell you a little bit about Miss Lou that you might not have already known. Within months after she arrived in London, she had a BBC program of her own. This is before the radio thing, I think. She did very well at RADA, I'm not sure what that means, and rejected opportunities to remain in Britain as a professional actress. She returned to Jamaica in 1947, taught for a while, and co-authored with Noel Vaz, Bluebeard, and Brea Nancy. And in 1949 Christmas, the 1949 Christmas pantomime, finding it hard to make ends meet, she went back to England in 1950 to work again for the BBC and to perform with several companies. So there's a little bit, I'm reading this from a newspaper clipping, I think. In 1953, she moved to New York, where for a while in other jobs, she did some broadcasting with Alma John at WWRL, sang folk songs at the Village Vanguard in Greenwich Village. You New Yorkers know where that is. And with Eric Coverley, co-directed a folk musical called Day in Jamaica. In May 1954, she married Coverley, and they returned to Jamaica in 1955.
Right.
I thought that was interesting because I never knew all of that before. So she actually performed at Greenwich Village as we knew it. So, Miss Maxine, have you ever been to Greenwich Village?
No, I've never been there.
Oh, it's down in Manhattan. Well, I went there in the 60s, you know.
I've never been there.
Yeah. And I read somewhere else where she came to York because she had an aunt there who, encouraged her to come.
Yes, that's where she got married, in New York.
She got married in New York.
In New York.
Yes.
I'm looking at the book as you're speaking.
Yes, she got married in New York.
In New York, yes.
But, you know, she said that her husband became her husband afterwards, but he was interested in her from she was 17.
Wow.
So, you know, he was 8 years older than she was. He was born in 1911, and she was born in 1919. So, you know, her mother was sort of, I suppose, checking him out.
And back then they were very strict as well.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, those mothers of those days.
Era, I know.
Yes, but, you know, she went on to get all sorts of honors because she was known as the Honorable Louise Bennett before she passed away. And I don't know if anyone else knows, but she and her husband are buried together in Jamaica. They exhumed his body and put it beside hers in the special park that they have for the dignitaries.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes, yes. And they had a special day when all of that happened in Jamaica. It was quite a big affair. But he lived until he was 91, and she passed away at 87. But you know, just really did so much for so many people. And I like to really encourage young people with a passion that may feel that if things are not opening up for them, you know, that it should be easy. You know, the now generation tend to just want to push a button and everything happen. And that's why I know that we're all celebrating her now. And let's say she went out in glory. But in the early days, you heard what this article just said. He didn't make any money, and neither did she. She was getting, you know, very little for her talent, but it didn't slow her down. You know, she didn't stop doing what she was passionate about.
Because she was passionate about
it. It wasn't about money. It was about the passion for doing it.
Rightly so.
And if we do what we love and really do it from the heart, things eventually work out. It might not be as fast as we want it to or the way we want it to, but somehow most of the great people all over the world, but most of the great people that we have discussed and explored and discovered here on Backyard Labrish originally were not well recognized for their art, whatever it is they were passionate about. It started small. A lot of it became big, or they became known about and revered after they were gone, and not necessarily even during the time they were alive. So, you know, it's about what you leave. Because there's some things you can't take with you. You can't take anything with you, but you can leave a lot. And that's what I get from researching all these people and celebrating all these people and bringing them to life. And I call myself putting a voice to what the historians are putting together on the different ones that I quote. And I always try to use material from Dr. Lumsden or Dr. Tortello, or, you know, the book that I have here of Jamaican culture. I forgot what that her name was, but everything in her book is also verified and can be backed up, because there's a lot of information floating around about things that are really not authentic. And there are a lot of times when things are left out. I was reading when I think her husband died, when Eric Coverley died, and someone I don't remember was really talking about, you know, what he contributed to the arts. Not one mentioned not once was ever Jim Russell mentioned in any of that. And it's Jim Russell who actually got Eric Coverley started in the theater, not started in terms of his art, but at least making him known. All the Gleaner clippings about Jim Russell's production always included among them the Eric Coverley name. And then it, as it evolved, there was more information about him. So I'm saying that to say that each person's family have a line, have a history. Now Dr. Lumsden is trying to put pieces of people's lives together. For instance, there's not a lot of information about Eric Coverley himself, you know, what he did in between. They're just bits and pieces of her mentioning that he worked for the railroad company. He was the first true Jamaican, because when it started, it was a foreign, you know, I suppose people living there didn't know how to make trains. So everything was done and brought to the island by, I forgot what company it was. We did the history of the railroad some time ago. But they had to bring their people to operate and run and so on and so forth. So he was the first person that was born and raised in Jamaica to work, I suppose, in an executive position with the railroad. And that's the only mention that was made of him. I don't know what school he went to, where he was born, and, you know, little details that might be relevant at this time. So here's my point. With this cool technology that we have, listen how we could listen to Miss Lou's talk directly from her mouth, so clear. And Miss Maxine,
yes,
do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Okay, but I'm sure you have nieces and nephews?
A whole lot, too many.
See, what you just did on the ear, I'm sure you have recordings. My point is, using the technology that we have now, it will be here forever in the clouds.
I know, right? And isn't that a wonderful and beautiful thing?
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited about it. I do not have enough hours in the day learning about it. So I'm on the computer all the time. No one I can hardly see. It takes me forever.
You know,
anyway,
I really commend you for having this program. I really do. And the diligence you put into it, I really do commend you, because not too many people are into stuff like this. I mean, of your age would be into stuff like this. And I really, really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh,
and
well, thank you so much.
And it's great that you're able to do this so that others can come along and listen and look back and learn something.
Oh, yes. You know, just the show we did last week, perhaps have almost, it's been listened to over almost 100 times.
Wow.
So I encourage the listeners on the board, or those that are, if you're not on my list, please go to backyardlabrish.com and just tell me you'd like to be placed on my list. I only mail out information about the upcoming show. But I also like to let you know that all the shows that I've done over the past almost 3 years are archived, and I've covered a whole lot of things, almost all of Dr. Tortello's pieces of the past. I call myself giving it a voice. I don't do it in details because, you know, some of it would be quite long and perhaps boring, but I try to just extract the facts and read as much of the facts as I possibly can, and invite you to go online and research it yourself or read it yourself. But I know that sometimes it's easier to listen. You can listen to any of the archive programs while you're doing your email or doing something else. You can put it, you know, click on it and just minimize it and let it play in the background if it's not too confusing to what you're doing. You can also copy the URL and send it to a friend who might be interested in that particular project, whatever we spoke about or whatever it is you were listening to. So, Miss Maxine, you can do the same. You know, you can send the URL after the show is archived to any of your friends, or and then ask them if they'd like to be on the Backyard Lab.
Absolutely.
I want to thank everybody for supporting me. I really feel so supported and loved just because of the way that it's been going. You know, I just started this by myself and I'm stumbling my way through it. But I really, really love it because I'm learning so much that I didn't know before. I am like a child in a candy shop when I find new information or information that is positive about our culture and Jamaica, because, you know, along with this, a lot of negativity is being passed around from people to people. Some of them are getting millions of hits. So we want the positive things about what we have done in the past and what we're doing now. We want that to get millions of hits too. So let's spread the word and spread the culture in a joyous way. Let's use our voices. And I invite the people who are silent on the board to hit number one on their phone and let your voice be heard. Let me know if you've enjoyed Miss Lou, if you've enjoyed Miss Maxine, and if you've enjoyed the tidbits. And if there's something special you want to hear me talk about, or guess a have a guest to talk about, do let me know, because that's how I can keep it interesting. So if I don't see any more hands, I am going to now play Miss Phyllis. So is anyone going to talk to me? Okay, well, stay by and
good
listen.
Morning.
Good morning, Miss Phyllis.
So good to hear you.
Oh, will you tell our callers where you're calling from?
Calling from Toronto, Canada, and we are having a beautiful day. Supposed to rain all day, but at least it's 6.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, in America, we don't have that kind of temperature, 6, so we don't have a clue what that is. Because
well,
you're talking
about... Let's put it this way, you need your boots, you need your coat, you need your mitts, you need your hat.
Wow. Well, here in Georgia, it's raining, and all we would need is some goulashes, because it is. We don't even need a raincoat. The weather is really warm. It's almost like spring. But I want to welcome you. It's interesting that you're calling from the same country and perhaps the same area that our special feature tonight is about. As you know, it's about the Coverleys, and they both lived in Canada.
Yes.
So I want to, you know, we're celebrating, it's History Month, and we're celebrating them both, because it's ironic, because I did the history of theater starting out with just how the whole thing started, theater in general, from the days of slavery all the way to now. And along the way, we discovered that Eric Coverley was involved with theater long before the pantomime. And along with Mr. Jim Russell from Kingston. I don't know if you had any interaction with Jim Russell, but he was a big theater man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all the arts, and we remember celebrating you as an artist in your own right. And
thank you.
I thought that I would invite you to be a part of the show this week.
Well, I am more than happy to tell you that last year here in Toronto, I must back up and say that at a place, Harbor Front, there is a space dedicated to Miss Lou, and a well-appointed room with the children can go and press a button and they can hear a Nancy story or a story narrated, not by Miss Lou, but they can hear a story, and they have all these interactive features in the room that the children can learn more about Jamaica, and particularly the role that Miss Lou played in the development of the theater. it's just a lovely space, and you walk upstairs. And last year, we had the privilege for doing a pre-show for Jamaica 50 and Beyond Towards a Developed Nation was the name of that. And so I was in charge of that, along with some very, very generous-minded volunteers, because the whole theme of it was doing something from Miss Lou, the stories, which I did, and then also playing games that people, the children played at about that time, that ring ding, things like that. I come to see Janie, all those things. And
wow.
I thought when you spoke about the Coverleys, how much of a truth it is that the union of a man and woman with a single goal always leads us. And Miss Lou always knew what it was she wanted to have, and that was to have our language twinned with standard English. A lot of people think that because Miss Lou did patois, as we used to call it, she didn't care for the spoken English. But Miss Lou had her tools to make it through life, and this is exactly what standard English is. It is a tool. If she did not have standard English, she wouldn't have won a scholarship to go to England to study. And so,
amen.
I just, when I hear children coming up from Jamaica who can't speak, or they have to be taken back into some class for remedial English, when the people who are pushing them to only speak patois, they all have their PhDs or various degrees, so it's
and
a
not in patois.
Thing. Pardon?
Because as far as I know, there's no one patois dictionary.
Yes.
So
well, it's all
it would be very hard for, you know, us to know how to every the way the word is spelled. So you
well,
can't
why
write
would you want
an
to go backward? Japanese, Filipino, Russian, everybody who comes into Canada, they're rushing off to English as a second language classes, because if you want to move up in the world and become a earner of a good salary, you better speak that standard English and then keep your patois for at home and with your friends. If I want to tell a joke, I don't want to be saying, and the man walked down the road and the goat butt him. I want to be able to say, Lord, you never see the fool man walking down the road and one goat buck him, you know? So our thing, just as a Japanese person has their language at home that they're going to speak, when they get out into the work world, they're speaking the standard English because they want to move ahead. So Miss Lou got her goal, which was to have this language, which I always call the Jamaican language, born of the whips of the slave master and the suffering of the Africans who were turned into slaves. I always call that our special language. And I love and admire all the work that was done by her, the joy of listening to a good Anansi story. This is a part of what was taken from us, and we rebuilt it in our own way. So the fact that, along with her husband, they both did this, I say thank you, because I myself, I love my Anansi stories. And when you come down to the tragedy of only giving this to the children, it is really putting them in a kind of jail, because when they come out into the world, they cannot communicate. And if they have to spend 10 years learning standard English, when the 10 years could be spent moving up in whatever chosen field. But my deceased husband, Bill Broom, was very involved in the pantomime at one time. And so I moved from sitting in the audience of the pantomime in Jamaica to going backstage, because Bill Broom, along with students from the Jamaican School of Art and Crafts, created the stage set for the pantomimes. I think it was 3 years he did that, because he was a sculptor master at the Jamaica School of Art and Crafts. And so it was exciting at that time to be a part of this growth, although I was just looking on and maybe no doubt eating off whatever food was brought.
Right.
It was exciting to see just how the script writer, the person who shaped the words of the pantomime, how they were all interpreted by the students under Bill's guidance. So even here in Canada, I go to the pantomime. You have to understand what's going on locally if you want to enjoy a pantomime, because that I think of as the key to understanding the theme of a pantomime, knowing what's going on. Like right now, we have a mayor up here that he seems to be more sports-minded, so a big furore because somebody had said, spoke about a writer, and his brother had said, who is she? I wouldn't even know her if I saw her on the street. Well, the people almost lost their mind.
Wow.
In the pantomime last year, you know, there was a lot of sort of double talk around this thing.
Ah.
So, a pantomime
now,
really,
who's the pantomime put on by?
It's a guy called Petty, P-E-T-T-Y.
And he's from Jamaica?
No. He's a white Canadian.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Pantomime
okay.
here, it
right.
is... Geared to the Canadian whites.
Yeah,
but
you.
I'm saying if you don't understand
right.
what's going on in the city, then you can't enjoy a pantomime anywhere.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
Pantomimes in Jamaica, they were based on what's going on in the town.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that with an understanding of that, you can really enjoy a pantomime. Because I can tell you, I was laughing my head off this year because this man, it's the first time I've seen Canadians really riled up, and they're riled up over their libraries. He wants to cut back on the libraries and so. So all of these things within the body of the pantomime here in Toronto made it even more exciting if you, like I'm totally against cutting any library hours and all that. So going back to Jamaica, if you didn't understand what was going on, then you wouldn't have gotten the great joy or the creativity
right.
of the mind
uh-huh.
that the pantomime.
Yes, yes. Well, one, we will perhaps have to ask you to fill us in on Mr. Broom one of these days. Because, you know, Dr. Joy Lumsden is trying to put together a lot of information that will be lost with the senior generation, because there's not a lot of documentation. There was not a lot being done around the time you're talking about, because I don't remember. We did the history of the pantomime, and I don't remember seeing Mr. Broom's name. I might have. I don't remember, though. I think I would have. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Really, really. And if you have any pictures or anything, I'm going to give you an assignment, if I may. that we will be able to celebrate your late husband for what he helped to do in the Jamaican community with the arts.
Well,
so that's your assignment. And we really, really appreciate your input.
For one
now,
of
let
these
me
days.
Ask you something. Did Miss Lou in any way influence you in continuing to be the keeper of the Anansi flame?
I would say most definitely. Because I said one night she was here performing, and I went up to her and I said, Miss Lou, you know what we have, the saying in Jamaica, my plane is on the runway.
Ah.
You know that saying?
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
senior now, I'll say to people, my plane is on the runway, just for Jamaica. And then in turn, the person would say, but it far down on the runway, or, you know, if somebody had said it to me, girl, you're playing on the runway, I would say, but it's all the way down the bottom of the runway.
Yes,
meaning,
yes. Not ready to get on it yet.
Not ready to get on it. So I said to her, Miss Lou, you know how the plane stay, you know? So I said, I am appointing myself the keeper of the Anansi Flame. So she wrote a beautiful thing for me, saying, you know, you go, girl, and, you know, walk so and so, whatever. So
walk good.
And I would have to say I definitely started studying them all because of her. So what I did, I photocopied it, and I have the original in my bank stored away. And the photocopy that I have it framed here in my, I'm sitting here in my office talking to you. So she definitely is a person, I'll have to say, unconditionally, just in that. I said, I can't tell your stories in the patois because I'm usually talking to a lot of non-black people. I can go in small town here, and they're all whites that I'm facing. So I have to tell a lot of the stories in English, and I may take two things and say, I'm going to teach you two words from the Jamaican dialect. One is Nyam, which is, people just love that word when I explain what Nyam means. So, and then I might say to them something like Bununus. You see? They are very amusing words in the sound and feel in your mouth. So I'll tell them two words and say, but you can't leave without learning two Jamaican words. She said, it doesn't matter what you tell it in, you're telling it. And so it is, I've kept telling those stories. And I'll continue telling them right to the very end. Right now I'm just studying one, Anansi's old riding horse, which is just so funny. Maybe I'll call the last night of Black History Month and tell one.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, we really appreciate your input, Ms.
It's a pleasure to. I commend you for what you're doing, showing another side of our beautiful cultured people. And I hope you know that it takes only one good person, and Margaret Mead said this too, it's only one it takes to keep on making a positive difference, because your words go out into the universe and you don't know who they touch. So in leaving you, I say, please keep on with this wonderful job that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I am honored.
All the very best to you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye. Stay. Bye-bye.
All good.
Thank you.
Good
morning,
ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that.
So good to hear you.
I hope you enjoyed that. Are you all still there?
Yes, I see you all here.
Miss Maxine,
I'm here.
Now she's talking about your voice going out in the universe.
Okay.
You've really touched me with that poem because, you know, people really don't realize how important
your voice is.
And precious and powerful a voice is.
Yes, it
so
is.
The first thing we should be doing is really being so thankful that we do have a voice. And be thankful that we live in societies where we can express ourselves.
And
you know, a lot of times we get up and there's so many things that we think is wrong. But think of it. Do you know, as we speak, people of all different cultures and all different colors are in environments or in situations that they cannot express themselves.
Absolutely.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
They do not have a voice. So I really thank you for bringing that even more to my consciousness.
Well, you know what? I'm glad I chose that one because I was here flipping through my book, flipping through, and when you said I should share one of my English pieces, I have so many poems.
I know, but you know, when you move from the heart, it just flows, because there she was talking about a voice.
Right.
Isn't that so? And I didn't even remember that when I did that taping this morning. So I'm telling you, it's just wonderful. And
yes,
when people of like minds get together
for a cause, in this case,
I want to take a minute to tell people who might come by that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio on Backyard Labrish. Backyard Lavish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here now each Thursday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And we invite you all to come back, and as Miss, I'm not ready to say walk good yet, but did you hear about the plane is on the runway? It was sort of new to me, and I know I'm not ready to get on it.
Well,
but did you hear that before?
No, I've never heard
of it. Janine, did you hear that your plane is on the runway before?
Yes, I've heard it. Yeah, when you're
not ready to go.
I
know that people sometimes say, you know, I was at the port or the wharf and my ship didn't come in or something like that. But I don't remember hearing that one before.
Yes.
But before we go, I wanted to tell you about some of the things that I have read about the awards that these people have gotten. Mas Eric Coverley was elected a Fellow of the Royal Society of Arts in 1949. In 1979, he was awarded the Order of Distinction, which is an OD, for his contribution to the development of Jamaican art and culture. In 1980, he received the Centenary Medal of the Institute of Jamaica for Drama and Dance. And in 1999, he was awarded the Silver Musgrave Medal for Outstanding Merit in the Area of Popular Arts and Theater. And now let me find about Miss Lou now. Miss Lou, in 1974, she was appointed to the Order of Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
On Jamaica's Independence Day in 2001, the Honorable Mrs. Louise Bennett Coverley was appointed as a member of the Jamaica Order of Merit for her invaluable and distinguished contribution to the development of the arts and culture. She wrote her poems in the language of the people known as Jamaican Patois or Creole, and helped to put this language on the map and to have it recognized as a language in its own right, thus influencing many poets to do similar things. So, Miss Maxine, you are one of them. Now, she also, in 1986, Miss Lou appeared as Portia in the comedy film Club Paradise, starring Robin Williams, Jimmy Cliff, and Peter O'Toole. Did anybody know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's new to me.
Oh, well, now you know. Isn't that interesting? And I mentioned before that Eric appeared in, what was it again? I know I said it. One of the 007 movies. I think it was Doctor something.
So,
but anyway, he had a short part. He was perhaps a person in one of the scenes. I don't know if he talked, if he had a speaking part. I think
he was
an attendant in a hotel or something like that.
Did you say Portia was in it as well?
Pardon?
Did you say Portia was a member of that, was in that play as well?
No. She was in a movie.
Club
Paradise was the name of that movie, and
okay.
It was starring Robin Williams, which is still alive. Who I think he's still alive, isn't he?
Yes.
And Jimmy Cliff and Peter O'Toole. I think Peter O'Toole passed on.
Okay.
But that was an actual movie that she was in. I did not know that.
That's news to me.
Yes, yes. This is a 1986. I'm going to look it up. A lot of this material, you know, is so much of it that I'm just reading it for the first time while I'm online.
Okay.
So I am going to double check that 1986 movies and verify that, because these are all things I downloaded from the internet. So I have another one of Miss Lou's tune, and I'm just going to go out with that. If I don't have time to come back and say goodnight, I'll try to squeeze it in, but I only have so many more minutes left, and this one is really cute. I think that you will all like it. Let me see if I can find it. And we can enjoy it together, if I can muster it up. I think I lost it again. So anyway, folks, I think I really enjoy it. I always have fun when I gather with my fans in the backyard, and I really hope that you do too, because, you know, it's really just so nice to be able to find so many things about our culture to really celebrate. So if any of the callers on the line, I'm trying to see if I can find a thing. So you can pipe in and give us a few parting words. Miss Janine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. It was your suggestion that I do Miss Lou this week, and I want to thank you for it.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it, and it brought back a lot of memories, and, you know, it's always good that you can share things, you know, that you experience with other people. And I agree with the person you spoke with in Canada, Miss Phyllis.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was good that we could do the patois, but the English was the most important thing for us in Jamaica. But growing up in Jamaica, we had plays where we had to do Miss Lou. We had folk songs where we did Miss Lou's song. But in speaking, you know, our culture was English, because a lot of people sometimes would ask, oh, you'd say, rather, you don't talk Jamaican. I said, what do you mean by that? Jamaicans, we talk English, you know, and they are thinking that we all talk the patois all the time. So
it's good
to let them be aware of the fact that we both have the language of patois, but our main language is English. So I agreed with her with what she said, you know. We appreciate the patois, and when we are with our, you know, with our friends and so forth, then, you know, we talk like that. But basically, that's not the way we talk out of our, you know, with our friends and, you know, things like that. So
another thing is that every child of an English-speaking country should have basic English as a language.
Exactly.
Because when you go to a foreign country, an English-speaking country, really, which most of the developed countries, not all of them, but the developed countries, especially in executive positions, how to get a good job or a good position with a company, England, Canada, you know, the United States and parts of Europe, you have to be very fluent in English,
exactly.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. And even, you know, people in China now are learning English because they know that even though China is so big and there's so many opportunities there, a lot of Chinese want to get to an English-speaking country, or from any country, more or less. So we need to be fluent in the language that is going to create the greatest income for us,
exactly.
No matter where we're from.
I personally don't agree with them just speaking the patois, because that is not supposed to be our language. It's an extra thing that we have that we can, you know, talk that way or share or joke around, but when speaking, then we have to go back to our English.
Exactly.
Right. Miss Maxine, you have any passing words?
Okay, I just want to tell you in a great many thanks for having this show. I mean, I don't get a chance to come on regularly, but you know, when you touch my part, I have to always do my part.
Yes, and I appreciate it.
And thanks for calling and thanks for having me on, and you know, many, many blessings to you and all the listeners who are on.
Amen.
Right, would you like to
and
tell
keep up
the listeners where they can
Thank
get
you.
Your recordings?
Okay, my book, which is strictly English, it's called Deep Thoughts. You can get a copy of that at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or Exlibris.com. That's a publisher.
Wow. Would you say the title again?
Deep Thoughts.
Deep Thoughts.
Thoughts. It's all written in English. Well, there's one patois piece in there about our present Jamaican Prime Minister, the Honorable Portia Simpson. There's a patois piece that's written in there. It's all about her.
That was written by
a request. So,
uh-huh.
And I published in the book as well. So it's at Amazon.com, Exlibris.com, and BarnesandNobles.com.
Great. And you have recordings of your poems, Patrick?
Yes,
poems?
I do have two CDs as well. The CDs, I just have them at local stores here in the Bronx. But if it's anyone who's interested in getting a copy, you can get in
touch with
me.
You have a website?
Yes, I have a website.
What the website is?
It's poettothemax.com. That's poettothemax.com.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us, and thanks for all your support, and continue spreading the word. And, you know, you're welcome in the backyard anytime. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed your time in your easy chair. I hope you will come often, and instead of saying, along with saying, make it a fantastic week, I'm going to also use Miss Lou's parting words by saying, walk good. Good night.
Good night.
Maxine, you're doing a good job.
Thank you, my dear.
Thanks.
Be well.
Maxine.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all. I'm in the South now, so I'm going to say bye, y'all. See you next week.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you.